about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I've just decided to switch our Friday schedule to Monday, which means that the test we take each Friday on what we learn during the week will now take place on Monday before we've learned it. But since the day is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest. Pencils ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Spock, sabotage the system. Spock, restore the atmosphere. Spock, sabotage the system. I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock. I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
I must say I don't care much for your insinuation or your tone.
Shut your face!
And now...
Honestly, I wish I was more sober right now.
Our feature presentation.
I think everything is going fine. I'm very happy with the way things are going.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. Well, that's one of us.
I think it's perfect.
Let me tell you guys a little something, besides the fact that that was yesterday's intro, just to keep it...
That's what I thought.
...tradition with how well today's going.
I was listening to it, and I said to Beer Mug, didn't he play Sabotage yesterday?
Sounds familiar, right, you guys? But that's just how today's going to go. Let me tell you guys a little something that are tuning in right now. I just started a Hire Beer Mug hashtag on Twitter.
What?
Beer Mug came in today. First of all, I guess the 405, some lanes were closed or something, so Beer Mug had trouble getting in. So he came in. He was already a little bit later than usual, right? He came in to an absolute S-storm. I mean, the minute he walked in, it was like he was putting out some sort of a spark, and the controls just started steaming, right? Just started blowing up.
Right.
Fires are starting. We get knocked off the air. We get back on the air. Get knocked off the air. Back. Cool as a cucumber. Just handled it like the freaking captain of the Starship Enterprise. Just nothing could rattle him. Just very calm. Just figured out a way to transfer everything over to another studio, put us on the air, and I guess everything sounds fine now.
Well, we'll see. But
no, you're right. He was.
What I'm telling
really
you is
that he handled it.
It's astonishing. You know, Beerma, we've long made fun of him that he panics. I mean, he's the guy who
freezes.
Has a brain aneurysm if there's 11 seconds left in the song and you're not ready to take over, right? But today, I don't know why he's so zen. He must be high or something. Something's going on. But very impressive.
It's got to be high, A. And B,
we don't have to start a Hire Beer Mug hashtag, as he already works here.
Well, there's that. I mean, I guess there's that.
We can't really hire him now.
He's already been hired.
Right.
Can't hire somebody who already works
right there.
My point is, it can't possibly hold, but just let the record show that for one day on November 13th, 2013, Beer Mug, ladies and gentlemen, rose to the challenge. Rose to the challenge. Did a great job. Now, what's our expectation for the rest of the show in terms of staying on the air, Mugs? What's it looking like?
Oh, crap. Glue and rubber bands. Yeah, crap.
This station is as big as it is, as popular as it is. I don't think people believe us, Kevin, when we talk about behind the scenes. It's barely on the air. We're barely keeping it together.
Yeah, and every day it's something else. Usually it's something that's small. Today it's big, a big thing. We're in a different studio, but it's no different than every other day. There's just when you come in, you have to rebuild things.
Right.
Without duct tape and wood glue and a saw, we would not be on the air any day.
So basically, except for not being able to be on the air, it's going to be fine today.
Right. All good.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes, I guess.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Say what? What you're not probably going to end up hearing today is Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Most likely, you're not going to hear Jensen Karp, who's coming into the studio.
He's the Kevin and Bean hip-hop correspondent.
He's our hip-hop correspondent. He also runs Gallery 1988. And he's going to help, I believe, with the King of Mexico's Clippers song. He's having a lot of trouble.
Oh, thank God.
A lot of trouble. Nick, one of our window lickers, Nick, is quitting pot.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to have to see how that goes.
I'm going to give it a try and see if I can not smoke weed for a month.
I'm 4 days in. I'm not very happy. the host of Survivor, Jeff Probst, will be here.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's all coming up today. You probably won't hear most of it, but we're going to give it a try, and we're going to come back with the Showbiz Beat next. I don't know. There's something about panic that makes it fun. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad to be back, but I'll tell you that much.
Ralph,
F you people.
Nothing's changed.
I was on a film set. It was moving smooth as butter. Just everyone doing their job and all the gears interchanging and everyone, oh, just magic. Like, come here.
Well, but in our defense, this is much easier than making a movie.
Yes, it is. It should be, turn on the microphones. Yeah. That should be job one.
Sure. There's that.
And that's it.
Right.
Right. And then we do we talk, we make bad jokes, and everyone goes home.
But you've worked here before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't work that way.
You have to factor in the K-Rock part of the equation, Ralph. That's what's in
just
trouble.
Just saying, I could use a little heads up this morning. I just would have stayed home, had I known. little heads
we
up.
All? Wouldn't we all?
We all would have.
We didn't know. All right, well, it's a miracle that you can even hear us now, if you can. But let's see how it goes with our first Showbiz Beat of the Day here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show with Ralph Garman.
I'm just worried for Bean. Bean, you okay?
Why? What's going on?
What's going on?
Because Zac Efron.
I don't know. I don't track Zac on a daily basis anymore.
Yeah, sir. I pretend you don't know.
You are a liar, sir.
You don't have Zac track 2013?
I don't. What's going on with Zac Efron?
Well, he slipped in a puddle of water at his home. Yeah, it was water.
What did he fall on, Ralph?
He broke his jaw, Lisa.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, broke his jaw, which then had to be wired shut.
Wow.
Doctors say he will not be able to have sex for weeks.
Sorry, B.
With dudes. Because they wired his jaw shut.
I got it.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying here.
I got the joke.
This is what I'm saying.
Don't do that. That's so gross.
You're not saying anything when you make that motion.
Okay. Yeah, apparently he also got quite a gash that needed to be closed with stitches as well.
Uh-huh.
First gash he's had ever in his whole life.
Come on. All right.
You guys, look, not that it matters if Zac is gay or not because he's super dreamy, but he's not gay. You know that, right? You make that joke, but he's not gay. There's no indication that he's gay now or has ever been gay.
That I believe that to be true because Bean is only really into straight dudes.
That's
been my experience with his lusts.
But he is pretty, I will tell you that.
Why does Jimmy Kimmel want to kill all the Chinese? What happened? I didn't miss that story, but apparently he tried to kill everyone in China. Is that what happened?
I'm not sure that's exactly the story.
I heard he bombed China. Is that true?
He was asking a little kid gave an answer that was a rather funny to everybody but the Chinese.
Yeah, apparently in some sketch, Jimmy asked how the United States could resolve its debt to China, and a kid named Braxton responded, kill everyone in China.
Right.
Child saying that.
Right.
Right.
And it was so funny because it's so ridiculous, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Can someone tell the Chinese that?
Well,
we can't because they're standing in front of ABC Studios holding up photographs of Jimmy Kimmel as Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. Well, look, they're not far off, but not for this reason. Yeah, there's a petition now in the White House calling on President Obama to investigate Jimmy Kimmel for employing the same rhetoric used in Nazi Germany against the Jewish people. Remember that time Hitler on his TV show had that funny kid bit where he said, kill all the Jews?
Kids say the darndest things or whatever it was?
Yeah. That was a funny show. It was the highest rated show in the 1930s in Germany. Adolf's Playhouse, I think it was called.
Jimmy did not commit a war crime, right? He did a comedy sketch with a little kid. Let's all keep this in perspective.
ABC and Jimmy have apologized twice.
Yep.
But the China's foreign ministry is demanding that ABC apologize yet again, apparently this time with feeling. And it's the most insane news story I've read in a long, long time.
We've been in this situation before. And,
remember when you said you wanted to kill all the Chinese? No. I do remember that.
And logically, you go, this is ridiculous. It's just, it can't possibly be happening. But it sure does.
Yeah.
It sure does. It's crazy.
Is there one of those people protesting or writing letters or signing a petition who honestly believed that Jimmy Kimmel and ABC would like the United States to kill everyone in China? Is there one person who honestly believes it?
I can't imagine
there is. And if they don't believe it, then shut up.
And says, shut up.
Knowing Jimmy, he's got a long list of Americans he'd like to kill first before he gets to the Chinese people. So I think they're safe for a while. Speaking of prejudice and show business, this cracks me up. Mel Gibson has a new girlfriend.
All right.
The actor who famously once said that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world is now dating Israeli-born actress Sarah Givitay, who is just spectacular and very Jewish, which goes again to prove...
What?
Lady parts trump all.
That's true.
Lady parts can overcome prejudice and hatred and greed and whatever your problem is.
Yep.
The desire for the lady part We'll straighten that all out. So.
How dare you!
I'm sorry, Mel, but it's true. You like the lady parts.
You offend me.
Janice Dickinson is in the news. Remember her, former supermodel Janice Dickinson?
Barely.
She was the first supermodel, Lisa. She was the very first supermodel.
Really?
Has that ever been pointed out? Just ask her.
Oh.
She's got a new treatment to staying young. It has to do with China. She's been going to China getting human placenta cells injected into her skin.
She's freaking eating Chinese, and they're upset at Jimmy?
No, she's not eating them, Kevin. She's just getting them injected into her face.
Okay.
It's the only race she's never had injected into her face. She's had everyone else. My skin has gone from gray to rosy pink, and I feel great. Listen, if your skin is gray, you're dead. That's not going to help. Yeah, the procedure is not approved here in the United States because we have medicine and science.
We have to test things like that and make sure they're safe?
Yeah, 10 grand a treatment, by the way.
Wow.
Plus a trip to China. Without airfare,
exactly. Whatever it costs you to get to China.
That's insane.
Then 10 grand.
Has she heard of makeup?
Yeah, I mean, she's had tons of plastic surgery. She's done everything. Captain, we've done everything we can. She's going down.
Can Jimmy take her out, too?
I think he should. Okay. When he finally does attack China, I hope Janice Dickinson's there getting human placenta cells injected into her face, if that's what they're calling it these days.
That's what they call it, yeah.
And I just got to give props to my boy Bradley Cooper, fellow Philly boy, over the weekend apparently showed up at his high school reunion, 20th high school reunion last weekend, Germantown Academy in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. I know it well. He showed up for the occasion in jeans and Philadelphia Eagles cap, a suede jacket. And everybody, as you can imagine, was eager to catch up with Bradley after all these years. And he went to the football game the next day for homecoming and just apparently had a great time.
So stars are just like us.
They're just like us. In fact, in this case, exactly like us, because I wore an Eagles cap and a suede jacket to my reunion.
What do you think the reception was like between the two of you?
I think it was equal.
Equal.
I think there was an equal excitement upon my classmates seeing me as they were Bradley Cooper.
All right.
He was the star of many successful motion pictures.
Right.
I was in Ted for 70 seconds.
That's right. And you've been to a lot of movies. So you guys have that in common.
That's right.
You just know that there was some big man on campus from Bradley Cooper's high school class, maybe the homecoming captain or the football captain or something like that, who was really excited about that reunion until Cooper walked in and he just threw his drink down and went in his car and drove home.
Yeah.
Love it.
When I had some human placenta cells injected into his face. Meanwhile, Bradley's co-star from Silver Linings Playbook, Jennifer Lawrence, she's just a sweetheart.
She's the best.
She is so down to earth that she has no idea where her Oscar is that she won for that film.
Really?
Won Best Actress last year.
Why don't you call me down to earth when I forget stuff?
Well, listen. Listen, guy who drove past the exit to this radio station this morning.
That is irrelevant.
But that happened.
Kevin, you did that today?
This morning.
Yeah,
really?
But the fact that we had such a disaster in the studios meant that I was still on time.
It bought you the time you needed to turn your car around and find your way to work that you've been going to for 12 years.
I drove right past the exit. And then I looked up and I was like, I don't recognize any of these exits. What's happening?
Jennifer says she hopes her...
I'm just down to earth, Ralph.
Yeah, you're down to earth. You're under the earth. Jennifer hopes her Oscar is hanging out in her folks' home in Kentucky because she says if it isn't, then it's gone. She has no idea.
Sweet. Oh, my gosh.
So if you have Jennifer Lawrence's Oscar, please return it to her.
At least let her know that it's in good hands.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Gerard Butler is 44 years old today. One of my favorites of all time ever, 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 Steve Zahn. Love him. What a great actor and a good guy. 46 years old. Speaking of... the man who hates all the Chinese, Jimmy Kimmel, celebrates his birthday today. 46 Yay! Years old today. Happy birthday, James. Whoopi Goldberg's 58. Chris, I'm going to guess it's Chris Noth is on this list, not Chris North. Because I've never heard of a Chris North before.
No.
And I'm guessing Dave the King of Mexico may have misspelled his name.
It was a Peter.
If you're a successful actor named Chris North, I apologize if it's your birthday. But I'm guessing it's Chris Noth. Who played, of course, Mr. Big in Sex and the City and, of course, Law and Order. He was a big part of that.
He's on The Good Wife.
That's right. He plays the ex-husband of The Good Wife, 59 years old today. Great actor. Joe Mantegna, speaking of actors, 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, before I tell you about Kevin's new girlfriend, I have to remind you that we have something very special going on with CBS Los Angeles to benefit the American Red Cross in the efforts to raise funds for the victims of the typhoon in the Philippines. Have you guys seen any of that coverage of what's going on in the Philippines?
It is disturbing, to say the least.
Thousands dead. It just looks like a giant steamroller just went over acres and acres and acres and just flattened those people. Hundreds of thousands of people homeless right now. We have set up a hotline for people who would like to make donations. It's going to be going on all day long today, all the way up until 6:30. So about 12 hours, this is going to be up and running. And we'll tell you more about it throughout the morning. Our own Nicole Alvarez is manning the phones right now, by the way. So if you want to call 818-821-1080. You can make a donation. They make it very easy for you to help the victims of the typhoon in the Philippines. That'll be going on all day. We have those details for you at krock.com. All right, Kevin, do you remember the name Paula White?
No.
She is the female Kevin. She's this lady.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so. It is my last show. I want song suggestions. Look, let's just throw it all out.
So that's yeah. Paula. That's on her. That was on her last show. She got very, very drunk, and she made international news as a result of how drunk she was on that show.
And I've been doing that for years, and what do I get?
Exactly. Well, she apparently left that station, Kevin, and got clean, and then was rehired by that station.
The same station?
Yes, BBC Stoke in Britain. She is back on the air at that station. Oh, wait, she was back on the air at that station until she did another shift this weekend where she was just as drunk as she was last time we heard from Paula White.
I love that.
She is on, and this show is an interview show or a talk show of some sort. It sounds like she's playing a little bit of music, but she has a very special guest on the show who is a guy who runs an organization that teaches people about exotic pets, teaches people about having a millipede or having a hedgehog or things like that. And it's an animal group. And she's trying to interview them on the show, and I think you'll enjoy her very much.
The real thing and you to me are everything. You see, I get loads of texts, but I don't see them till a Saturday. And so today I've got the lovely Christian. Hello, Christian.
Hello there.
Now, I saw a text that said that I've got the Exotic Society or...
How drunk?
What's happening?
Wow.
First of all, who gets texts but you don't get them till Saturday?
I don't know.
What kind of system do they have there?
I think maybe she's just working weekend. She's just working on Saturday, so she has a work email maybe or something like that.
Oh, I see. So she can't really check it until she gets in or something?
Right. When she comes in for her next weekend shift, she sees it. So she's trying to introduce this poor guy who's working for this exotic animal place.
Something.
The Staffordshire Exotic Society.
And I'm thinking, you're all going to be a nude.
No, nothing like that. A lot of people, actually, we get a few people on Facebook adding this because they think it's something else. And not exotic.
All right, so she's made the joke, oh, you guys are exotic, I bet you're all in the nude.
You're
so
all
she's
nude,
made the joke.
Right.
Now, she's moving on from that, right?
So, of course. That's a hard one to explain.
Right, let me just start this off by being me. So I see this text saying the Staffordshire
Exotics.
Exotics.
Oh, my God.
How Kevin is that moment?
What is he thinking at this moment?
But here's the thing. Up until a couple days ago, my moments are usually 30 seconds or less. Yeah. Like, I don't...
Not a whole show?
Right. No, I don't usually do the entire show that way.
No, this guy is a champ. You can't believe how patient he is with this woman who interviews him, by the way, I'm not joking, for about 10 minutes about 10 minutes. We'll only hear a fraction of that, but here we go.
I'm thinking, right, you want me to get naked?
No.
Nothing like that. Basically, we started up 4 years ago, and it's just people that keep any pets, really, but more the unusual things.
Whoa, let's go back again.
What?
So you're talking about exotic pets.
Yeah.
And that's why you're called the Exotic Society.
That's right, yeah.
I think
doesn't exotic
that.
Mean naked?
Aren't you sure that you're possibly naked? So, all right. So he is answering questions about the kinds of pets people shouldn't have and that any pet can be dangerous. He's just trying to get the good word out about this event that he's having that night. So Paula continues interviewing the poor guy.
Do you know what? I was watching something the other day and it was like quite scary.
What?
Should we really have exotic pets?
So that goes into a whole other...
It's kind of scary.
Should we really have exotic pets?
He's thinking when she said scary, I don't think there's a question there.
Wait.
All right, so he's answered. Listen to how she comes out of it.
Basically, if you're going to spend a lot of money on an exotic pet, have an enclosure for them and such, chances are you're not going to get rid of it like you would if you brought a 50-pound Jack Russell out of the paper or such.
I understand what you're saying, and I've always said that animals are animals, and that's why they're called animals. We're all animals.
What? Wait, what? Animals are called animals, and that's why they're called animals, and we're all animals.
I like when somebody says, I always say that, because first of all, it's never true. And second of all, she said nothing about what he was saying.
She needs to be on the party bus. He's describing some of the animals that he works with, and he happens to mention that one time he got mauled by a guinea pig. He was trying to clip a guinea pig's toenails, and he got injured by that, and she just loves that so much.
I then got my little finger savaged by one.
I am so sorry. I'm sorry. I had guinea pigs. Sorry. How's your finger now? How's your finger now?
All right, she's going to wrap up her interview, and then I'm going to tell you the thing that happened at the end of this interview that made national news, that made the BBC scrub this audio from the internet. The reason this is not available, this is not available online. You can't find this tape anywhere on the internet.
What'd you do, record it yesterday?
No, I have a radio friend in Britain who knew a guy at the BBC who was able to pull it off their internal recorder. So this is a U.S. exclusive, ladies and gentlemen. The Meltdown, number two of Paula Stokes.
Wait, that wasn't the Meltdown so far?
Oh, no. There's something that happens after the interview that you're going to love so much. So here she is wrapping up with her exotic pet guest.
Christian, I so want people to come to your show. I want to come to your show. So tell us all about it.
Well, it's tonight. It's at the 116th Scout Hut in Blurton off Brownsea Place. The nearest postcode to it is ST32BS, and it starts from 5 p.m. and goes on until 8.
What'd you like?
I've never been so excited in all my life.
What?
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. You're more than welcome to come down.
I am so coming down.
Well, we'll get a big giant snake for you to hold, and then you can see for yourself that it isn't sizing you up.
What's
good happening? Night.
Okay, so
what
just happened?
All right, so the interview ends, they go into a commercial, they play a song, and then the song ends. Where's Paula?
I love it.
Where is Paula?
Paula, ladies and gentlemen,
left
is asleep.
She fell asleep?
Fell asleep. The next DJ comes in after about 2 minutes of dead air. The next DJ comes in and starts his show, calls the police because she is passed out and unconscious on the studio floor at the BBC. Oh, the paramedics arrive and take her to the hospital.
That's the best thing ever.
Has been removed from the BBC website. It is unclear whether she will get a third job opportunity to be a presenter on BBC.
I hope not, because then we could hire her.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paula Stokes is the best DJ ever in the female cabin, and I love her.
Kate the Elephant on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 626.
They are, of course, one of the great bands playing night number one of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert coming up at the Shrine Auditorium on Saturday night, December 7th, along with Kings of... What?
Sorry, night number one is sold out. Night number two, not sold out.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Why do you jump in with that?
Because you said sold out. But go ahead.
Right. The sold-out night number one of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas, what I said, right.
Okay.
So Kings of Leon, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, so much more on night one. Night number two, tickets go on sale this Friday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members, and that's with your Arcade Fire, Phoenix, Lord, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, and a bunch of other bands. You can get all the details at krock.com. And again, the key, make sure you're a Street Team member so you can buy those tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon.
323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. You can call on any topic.
I miss Big Tad. Where's Big Tad?
Really? Now? Where's Big Tad?
Yeah.
Are you in a time warp?
She misses Big Tad.
Big Tad, I think, is still working on the Jimmy Kimmel Live
I believe show. He is, yeah. As security. Yeah.
Right. Well, he's a big guy.
You don't have to call with everything.
I got gas.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't need to know that.
Yeah.
Another happy customer.
You, Lisa May, you're cool, and Kevin, I'm out.
Wow.
I'm always cool.
Kind of aggressive.
I missed that movie. Lisa, another fan.
Hey, Lisa, turn them loose, girl.
Turn them
Let
loose.
Let them go.
That's right.
Let them go. Shake them, baby. Shake them, Lisa May. Shake them for freedom, Lisa. Yeah, Lisa May. Shake them, girl. Woo! Yeah.
That was me on Veterans Day, shaking them for freedom.
Well, sometimes you have to, you know?
Yep.
Sometimes it's your duty to entertain the troops. Here's the dude. Remember the guy that we had that was hating on all of us?
Yes.
He's pretty much just me
he
now.
He calls all
Whoa,
the time.
Kevin, write him. Guess what? You're a f***ing douchebag.
And again, no kind of clue
nope.
or context, just hate.
Look, we know we're douchebags and we're hateable, but specify if you can.
It's helpful.
It might help us. Just in general, you know, whatever. Apparently my maid Lupita called.
Mr. Kevin, you think I'm working? But I'm not. I'm watching TV on your big sofa, naked.
Oh, no, Lupita,
go
naked
Lupita.
In your house.
Doesn't seem good. This call's about our charity and how the team of my wife and my wife are able to pull that off with a husband like me.
Friendsandhelpers.org. Kevin's wife is so nice and smart and coherent and sober and not a big idiot. What happened?
What happened indeed? That's a good question. You can go to friendsandhelpers.org. She does run a fantastic foundation that I pretty much am not allowed to do anything important for.
Yeah.
Because of, well, you know why.
Oh, hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. I have such an itchy scrotum.
Oh, this is see what we had to say about the guy with the gas. We don't need to know every detail about your life.
Here's our answer to you.
Nope.
This is a bean. This is a bean lover. What happened, Muggs? What happened?
Hold on. The same thing that's been happening all morning.
No, this is a...
There you go.
There we go. Okay.
F*** you, Bean. Oh, you're so annoying. Did you know? No, we didn't know. And guess what? We don't give a sh**.
Thank you. She's encapsulating all of us.
She speaks for all.
Yes.
How dare you?
This girl's a lie. This girl's a lying liar who lies.
Hey, Bean. Just calling to say I love you. I can't wait to see you tonight. And I put on something really, really sexy for you. So I love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Why can't those calls ever be real?
Hey, Bean. Nobody cares.
I'm not quite sure. That sounded like the King of Mexico.
It did.
It kind of did.
Wait a minute. Can we listen to that again?
Yes.
Not sure if we have the ability to here with all of our problems, but let's try it one more time.
Hey, Bean, nobody cares.
That's pretty close.
That is Dave-ish. Certainly.
That's pretty close. Here's a constant problem that we have that Bean does not think is a problem. He clicks his computer a lot and types on his keyboard a lot. And then I say, hey, it's a little loud. He goes, no, it's not.
Bean, stop clicking your goddamn mother effing mouse during the show. It's so freaking loud. Stop!
No, it's not.
I can no longer listen to the song Let's Hear It for the Boy anymore. Riding with some friends, it comes on the radio, gets to the end, and I go, oh, almost hurt myself down there right in the ankle. Thanks, Bean.
Yeah, that song is ruined for all of us.
Yeah.
And it's all right because I was not a big fan of that song, so it's okay that it's lost to history as a Bean moment. But you can call 323-520-AFRO 24 hours a day, and this is what the guy's talking about.
Yeah. 95, PGC, I still love that song, from Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Jeff Probst, the awesome host of TV's Survivor, joins us in about 20 minutes or so. By the way, he is practically naked on tomorrow night's episode of Two and a Half Men. He's a guest star on Two and a Half Men. He's almost naked on the show.
Well, that's exciting. He's a good-looking man.
So we'll talk to Jeff. Also, our old friend Jensen Karp, the hip-hop correspondent of the Kevin and Bean Show, on the program later on today, and Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. It's all on the way here on K-Rock.
So Bean was very excited about the Twitter IPO.
And yes. He said, isn't everybody excited about it? And I said, no. And he said, aren't you thinking about buying shares? And I said, no. But
look,
being very excited about the shares because he sees this as one of those deals like Apple or anything else where you get in on the bottom and then later on you're a multi-billionaire because right. you were smart.
Right.
Hey, it does happen. And yes. the example that I gave was Amazon.com was right. a perfect example of you bought that back in 1997 and you've made, 200 times your investment by now. And I understand that the vast majority of stocks do not work out that way.
Right.
Most companies fail. I get all that. Mm-hmm. I didn't invest that much money that I can't afford to lose it or have it decrease in its value. But I do like to imagine. I mean, look, that's partly why people put money in the stock market is they like to imagine, hey, this could be a huge break for me. This could be something that's going to fundamentally change my life in the future. And that's right. what I was hoping for. Now, just as an update, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I bought Twitter at $45.40 on day one when it went on sale last
$45.40?
$45.40 per share. And right. ladies and gentlemen, as of right now, as of this moment, about a week later, it's at $41.25.
Yeah!
So I think you can see I'm only down about $3 a share.
You are heading right down into hell.
So I'm heading in the right direction, I guess.
What could go wrong with this? So what we think is going to happen is Bean, of course, is going to lose some money, so then he's going to try someplace else. It's the beer mug factor.
Right.
He's going to try someplace else to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, at some point in the future, he's going to be just dirt poor.
And you think this is the beginning of
yes,
the end for me?
It's going to be a sad situation. You're going to be living in a van or something. I don't know, with like some other hippies going to dead shows. I don't know what's happening in the future. But we did ask Dave, the King of Mexico, to hook up Bean of the Future.
What?
So we've got you on the phone in the future.
Are you kidding me? We're able to talk to me years from now?
How about that?
That's amazing technology.
Hello Bean.
Future Bean.
Hi, fellas. How are you doing? Good to be on the radio again.
What's the noise there in the background?
Just a little fire I have going here.
Oh, fire. Okay.
A little fire in a trash can.
Okay.
Do you remember how much I love 7-Elevens?
You used to love them more than life.
Yeah, now I'm living behind one.
Oh, no.
Now, Future Bean, I'm very concerned. What do you mean it's good to be on the radio again? Am I not on the air anymore in the future?
Well, it turns out when I lost the house, I also lost the radio station I was working from on the island.
I lose my house, too?
Yeah, all of them.
That's sad.
All the houses.
It turns out you don't get to hang on to a lot of your money when you go bankrupt.
Well, once Twitter went in the tank, I invested in some other stock trying to recoup my losses.
Uh-huh.
Turns out buying all that Eggy stock wasn't so good. Eggies didn't really take off the way I thought they would.
So I made a lot of bad investments. How broke am I, and where's my wife?
Well, Donna's been gone for 4 years now.
Oh, she left a long time ago, huh?
She ran off with Marty, of all people.
Is that right?
Oh, no.
Wow.
But it's okay, because I've had a hard time feeding us both anyway. It's time for breakfast, if you guys don't mind.
What is it that...
Hey, I get in the dumpster here behind the 7-Eleven.
Oh, no.
This is
old rotating hot dogs they throw out once in a while.
Oh, 6'6" Bean getting in a trash can.
No, it's not good.
Nothing in here, really. Uh-huh. Here's an old newspaper. You know, I like to stay current.
Right.
I don't have the internet anymore.
Oh, that's sad.
No internet either.
Television or cable, so I just have to read the newspaper.
All right. What do you got there?
I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there's a big storm in the Philippines.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately we have.
Oh, really?
But that's a little old news.
Oh, it's not really 2016 news, is it?
No.
Hey, Future Bean, what about, I'm terrified to ask this, what about my little Linus, my little Veruca, my beloved puppies?
Oh, they were delicious.
No!
Bean,
you ate your own pets?
You're horrible.
Look, the guy has to do what he has to do to survive, you know?
Right, but you love those pets.
I did, and they gave their life for us. A higher, nobler cause.
Oh, God.
I worked my way through all of the animals.
Oh, no.
Mm. Yeah, so. Oh.
What's that?
Oh, my trap went off.
Oh,
no, I'm not catching cats to eat, am I?
Feral cats for breakfast.
You trapped one of Lisa's feral cats?
No, I love a good feral cat in the morning.
It's
more delicious than that.
This does not seem like a happy future at all.
Hate Future Bean.
What's going
what
on now?
That?
Oh, just using the restroom.
The restroom?
Or as I like to call it, the wall behind the 7-Eleven.
Okay. This is just getting sad now.
Wait for the shake.
All right.
All right, there we go. How should
should I have my cat today? Should I have it raw or should I cook it over this fire?
Jeez.
Do you have that cat sushi?
Wait, do you eat cats raw?
Well, sometimes the fire isn't really going as nicely as it should.
Oh.
But you'd be surprised how good they are with a little sea salt.
No. No.
I think I made the biggest mistake of my life buying Twitter stock,
guys,
apparently.
Next time I talk about Twitter stock, would you punch me right in the nuts?
We would love to. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
We had some great folks filling in for Ralph Garman on the show, BizBeat, the last few days. Our friend Ted Stryker came by. Larry Morgan was on here. Lisa May, you did a great job filling in. But it's great to have the king back.
Yes.
Ralph Garman,
why don't you
get
them then?
The
fine, get them. Screw you.
If they're so great, get them to do it. No, what I'm saying is they just kept your seat warm. We're happy that you're back, Ralph.
Yeah, right. Did you miss the word king?
Yeah, right. Sure.
I know you've been gone the last couple of days filming a movie with your bud Kevin Smith.
Yes.
How'd that go?
Tusk. Is the name of the film. Boy, was it great. And I'm telling you something, I think this is really going to be cool. You know, when you first hear it, it's about a guy turning another guy into a walrus. You're like,
it sounds horrible.
What's that?
Yeah, well, a lot of movies sound horrible until you see how they're handled.
Yeah,
they're
this thing is going to be awesome. So I spent some time in North Carolina earlier this week filming my little scene. I just had a little cameo, really. But I got to work with Haley Joel Osment.
Strong,
who, of course, you remember as the kid from Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Right.
He's grown up into a full-grown man now.
I see dead people.
He saw dead people, and now he saw a dead career when I got on the set.
Ah.
And I also got to work with the stunning Genesis Rodriguez.
Not familiar with her.
Did you ever see Casa de Mi Padre with Will Ferrell?
Yes, I did.
She was the female romantic lead
yes.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
She's also the bad guy in Identity... Theft.
Yeah.
No, identity theft?
Identity thief.
Thief. Yeah. Yeah. She is just couldn't be more adorable and sweet and talented. And we had a great time there in North Carolina. So. It's going to be out soon, too. You'll see Tusk like early next year.
That's
the way Kevin rolls. He wants to have it ready by Sundance, ideally, and then get it out there to the people. And Kevin is one of those guys who pot makes him more creative and active and energetic.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so while he's shooting the film, he is editing the previous day's film.
Sounds like a recipe for death.
When he's not on the set, he runs to the editing bay and he's cutting stuff together. And then he goes back and shoots some more and cuts that together. He did it during Red State. We had the whole film assembled by the time we were done shooting.
That's crazy.
It was wild. But it was
Ralph, I know you hate the South, a large part of this country. How was your experience in North Carolina, albeit brief?
It was non-existent, really. I got in...
Hey, why don't we not do that? How about
Can
if we
save
don't do that
file for another time, please?
How was the South, Ralph?
I got in Sunday, just time to have dinner and go to bed. Monday was on the set all day, late day. Tuesday morning, got up, got an airplane. So I don't know anything really about Charlotte, North Carolina. Very nice airport, very nice people at the hotel where we were staying. And other than that, that's all I can give you. But so
well, welcome back. I mean that.
Thank you very much. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. This is an interesting move that I think may be the precursor of deals to come. You know, of course, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers stars in Dracula on NBC.
Yes.
Jonathan, in the past, has been plagued with some personal issues regarding substance abuse, particularly alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't think I knew that.
As an Irish actor. Oh, yeah. Showtime's The Tudors that he starred in previously went to enormous troubles in their production schedule with Jonathan being unable to be on set and perform. So before NBC would hire him on to do Dracula, they had to put a special deal in place, and here's what it is. The bulk of his salary, estimated at $100,000 an episode, is being withheld until filming is finished on the entire season.
Wow. That's pretty strict.
That's a nice incentive.
Gives him a little motivation to stay clean and to show up on time and do his work. And then when it's all said and done, he will get his paycheck. Other than that, he's just getting a per diem while they film there in Budapest. And some minor dispensations, but the lump sum of his salary is being held contingent on him completing the season. So
how about that?
I think we need to do that with Kevin.
How?
We're paying him at the end of each week. If he comes in and he gets through the entire week, then we give him his paycheck. Otherwise, we just go up to the party bus and we just knock on his door and we throw him a sandwich and just wait for him to sober up to work. So.
Do we give him more or less for every moment with? Because I feel like the moments with are the only reason we're keeping
keeping him around.
Yeah, I guess you got a point.
They do. He kind of pays for himself.
They do add.
That's painful.
Lord in the news. That kid. That crazy kid. She's still at the top of the charts, of course, with her smash hit Royals. Now she had a...
We got to hire DJ Paula White to be on a Kevin and Bean show.
I agree. She'll be so much better than me.
K-Rock and CBS Television, including our next guest in a moment here, are teaming up to raise money for the Red Cross to help those still in need from the damage from Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines. This is, by the way, the largest storm ever recorded. Lisa, isn't that what you heard?
Yes.
Over 200 mile an hour winds. This was Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Katrina together and then some. That's how big this storm was. You can call 818-821-1080 to make a donation. 818-821-1080. Going on all day long today. Our own Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock is manning the phones right now. Ted Stryker starting at 10 o'clock. Kat Corbett later on in the afternoon. And I think one of the CBS TV stars that's going to be handling this later on today as well is our good friend Jeff Probst from Survivor, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. I love talking to you guys.
Well, we love having you on, and I especially thought of you today with this typhoon relief thing that we're doing with CBS because you, my friend, have spent more time in the Philippines than almost anyone I know. Tell me about that.
Yeah, over the last 2 years, I've been there almost 8 months, and, you know, it's a strange thing because the Philippines, there are several, like 7,700 islands. So in one sense, I think of the Philippines, and it's just massive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people. We did not shoot in this area. I've never been to this area. But when I hear the Philippines, I don't differentiate. There is such a sense of community. And they're by far, and I'm not saying this because of the storm, the best people we've worked with. And that's why we went back 2 years in a row.
Wow.
Because there's just a humbleness and a community and hardworking. And I was watching with my wife last night up fairly late. You kind of feel helpless.
Yeah.
That it's so devastating. And then you equally, weirdly, selfishly feel so grateful that your kids are upstairs asleep.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
you feel bad that you feel that way, but you do.
It puts it in perspective, too. You make a great point, Jeff, because you feel helpless because, look, we have plenty of natural disasters in the United States, and we've seen what hurricanes and tornadoes and floods do to parts of this country. But there's always infrastructure nearby. There's always people that can get there and get help. People from all over the country come to New Orleans and help when New Orleans needs help. This island in the Philippines, it's almost entirely decimated. They are literally starting from scratch. They don't have a telephone pole standing to even try to get service back. You know, they got no running water. They're literally starting from nothing, and it's thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who are homeless. I mean, it's almost too much to imagine how much help these people need, and that's why people like you and people like us here at K-Rock are trying to get this get some money into the Red Cross. And let me give out the phone number one more time. It's 818-821-1080, and you personally are going to be answering phones later on today, right, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going in a little later this morning.
Okay. I want to talk about Survivor and a couple other things while we have you on the line because there's a new episode tonight. Did you tweet something recently that there was some sort of a study on the most popular Survivor contestants of all time?
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite that formal, but there was this season we just did a little focus group to see what people thought about the first episode, and the response was really positive of the first episode being one of the best first episodes we'd ever done. And one of the other questions was, who do you like on the show? And Rupert was a surprise. He was a favorite at a very high level, which kind of surprised me only because he's played so many times. I didn't realize he still had that feeling of the Jeff, I will do whatever it takes. People still like that. Mm-hmm. And that it was informative to me.
But didn't he get kicked off super early?
He did. Well, he kicked himself off. That's the beauty of Rupert is this season there's this opportunity. If your loved one is in trouble,
right,
you can save them and take yourself out of the game. And right out of the gate, his wife is in trouble, literally a minute into the game. And a minute and a half into the game, Rupert says, I'm going to swap spots. I'll be back for you.
I like your impression, by the way.
I like your impression as well.
There's no way you guys don't, down the road sometime, revisit this blood versus water. I mean, this has turned the whole game on its side, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. And we were optimistic, I will admit. We thought we had something good. We didn't know the audience would respond like this. And it's been, it really has been, a lot of people are telling me they think one of the very best seasons. And there is good stuff coming, legitimately good water cooler talk, if you're a Survivor fan, still to come.
That, here's the crazy thing about that. This is the 26th season, so I'm sure... 27th. So I'm
27, yeah.
So I'm sure people all the time ask you, you know, at the beginning, did you think it was going to go this far, blah, blah, blah. You're talking about maybe the best show that has been on in 27 seasons.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. It is. And it's man, there's just so many little ingredients that go into it. You have a great format, first and foremost. You just, this idea that you would take a group of strangers and dump them in the middle of nowhere and say, here's the deal. You've got to work together to survive while simultaneously voting each other out in order to stay in a game is a great little concept. And then it's in the hands of someone like Mark Burnett. Somebody else could have screwed this show up. He knew what to do with it, and he created something that's lasted. And I think we've been really good in barely tweaking the format just enough to keep it fresh, but never really deviating from what the premise is.
Right. This is the voice of our friend Jeff Probst here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There is a new episode of Survivor airing tonight on CBS. Don't miss that. A couple of other things that Jeff has going on, because he is one of the busiest men in show business, is he's a little bit of an actor. We're going to see him on Two and a Half Men tomorrow night. And I only know what you tweeted out, which is a photo of way too much naked Jeff Probst. What's going on, dude?
Yeah. Well, that was it. They called on Monday and said, hey, do you want to do Two and a Half Men? And I said, are you kidding? I'm in. And they said, okay, shoot Thursday. And I said, perfect. And they said, and you'll be naked.
I'm sorry. And you said, I'm sorry, what?
And they said, and you'll be naked. And I said,
perfect.
Oh, perfect. Who's, I like it. So
whose bedroom are you coming out of, Jeff?
Well, that's part of the gag. Look, here's the truth. I play a version of myself. It's a small little part. Well, no, it's not a small. It's
yeah,
a small
it's a
role.
Small little part. That's what we've heard.
But the fun part is, you go into your little trailer, and there is literally one thing hanging on the wardrobe, the tiniest pair. And so I put them on, and I look in the mirror, and I go, dude, you just got to go. You just got to walk out here and own this thing.
Yeah.
This thing. And so I had a blast. The funny part was this weekend they promoted it on football, and they painted, because it's daytime, I guess, and they're afraid they're going to offend somebody by seeing my stomach.
Right.
They painted underwear on during the promo that go up to my belly button. I look like a grandfather.
You're wearing granny panties.
Yeah, but I called them and they said, no, not for the show, just for the daytime.
That's awesome. Two and a Half Men airs tomorrow night, also on CBS. And before we say goodbye to Mr. Probst, let's not forget, last time you were on, you told us about your series of books for young adults called Stranded, Volume 3. And I'm told the last volume is coming out next week on the 19th, right?
Yeah. The Stranded has been a real surprising hit with kids, and it's the premise is a mom and dad get married, and they both bring two kids into the marriage, and so they send them on a sailing adventure to get to know each other, and the kids end up stranded with no adults on an island. So it's Survivor for kids. The first one was a New York Times bestseller. The second one came out in June. The third one comes out next week, and it's the end of the first adventure. And then I've just started writing the second adventure, which is books 4, 5, and 6. And I have had a blast, and I'm not kidding when I say, when I get tweeted a photo of a kid with Stranded
right.
from, you know, Idaho, I think, God, I love being able to connect with little kids in a new way.
Well, if we have parents who are looking for gifts for Christmas for 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds, definitely go to Amazon.com and check out Jeff's book called Stranded, because the reviews from parents about how much their kids love the book just must make you so happy, Jeff. You got to be very, very proud of being able to do something like that.
I am really proud, and I love that both of our kids are doing book reports literally this week, and they're both – of course they pick Stranded because
yeah.
they think they can BS their way through it. And so we're going, no. Find that in the book. Show me where that is, because you've heard Dad talk about it, but I don't think you've actually read it.
Oh, smart kids. Smart kids.
All right. Well, listen, we know you got to go. Hey, if you want to talk to Jeff Probst personally later on today, he might be the guy who picks up the phone if you call 818-821-1080. K-Rock and CBS Television Stars teaming up to raise money for the Red Cross to help help those in need from Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines. Thanks, Jeff. Always great to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Time to talk to Nick. What are we calling him now? Nick 2.0? Nick 3.0?
He's got to be up to Nick 3.0 by now. He started out as Nick the Sign Holder, a longtime friend and fan of the Kevin and Bean Show, and I feel there's a problem going on in Nick's house that we need to help him with. Hey, Nick, how you doing, man?
I am good. I'm doing better. Doing better.
Good.
Been working on my site since Nick.
Well, the last time we talked to Nick, the site that Nick is referencing, the last time we talked to Nick is he had written about 500,000 words on trying to get the Playboy Club episodes, that failed TV show, trying to get the episodes that hadn't aired yet either to be aired or put out on DVD. Still trying, right. I mean, he has dedicated his life's work. The guy who built Mount Rushmore put in fewer hours doing that than Nick has trying to get the Playboy Club episode.
And the Playboy Club has been off the air for how long?
2 years, but TV hasn't been the same for me since. Even shows I like just aren't as good anymore without it.
Even shows you like aren't as good.
Food doesn't even taste as good anymore, right, Nick?
Yeah, it's just...
The sun doesn't shine as bright.
No,
I hear you.
So Nick has been... Nick has been very depressed, and part of what
not
Nick has done,
but still, but just not depressed, but just not into things as much as I used to.
I'm with you. I felt that way when Yo Mama got canceled on MTV.
And by the way, where's your dance crew show with Randy Jackson? That's not on anymore either, is it, Kevin? How did you handle
that? That's correct. I'm right there with you, Nick.
So yeah. Nick has been sad, but he has been self-medicating for the past few years with the, you know, with the pot. And now I got an email from Nick that was so surprising to me because he told me, guys, that he's trying to give up the weed for 30 days. Now, I don't know a Nick who's not smoking pot.
This is Nick 4.0.
Nick 4.0.
Who
What's
knew?
Going on?
The clear-headed, you know, healthier version.
But, Nick, you have so many things that are wrong with your life. I can't imagine that pot is anywhere near the top of that list.
Well, that's why I'm trying to fix. That's why I'm trying to quit, because I want to fix these things that are wrong with my life. And I need to be less... I need to be more clear-headed to do so.
That makes sense.
But Nick, if you're clear-headed, you're going to stop trying to bring back the Playboy Club... And you're going to realize that show's been gone for 2 years. I mean, you're really going to lose your enthusiasm, I think.
No, I'm going to be more enthusiastic because I'm giving up pot for the Playboy Club.
I see.
Gotcha. And threw myself to save it.
All right. So how many days has it been so far since you lit a bowl?
Five days.
5 days.
Wow.
All right. How do you feel physically?
Better. I feel fine. I don't need it as much as I used to. Because I smoked pot frequently for, 7 years. And it's not fresh anymore. I mean, nothing is as fresh after 7 years, you know?
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to graduate to a stronger drug.
Maybe that's the problem, is you just plateaued. Your high is plateaued. Have you looked into maybe amphetamines or barbiturates?
No, just running more and, drinking more coffee as a substitute and just not... And I still like pot. I still think it's good and all. And
coffee is a substitute for pot?
I've never heard that.
That's weird.
What are you doing with the coffee?
Just a cup whenever I feel like smoking. Just, you know, something to substitute, I suppose.
Okay. All right.
How about
so
that?
Is it affecting your creativity, Nick?
Not the thing. It's like I just wasn't as creative as I used to be, and I just felt like it was time for a change, you know? It's mm-hmm. like...
Okay.
A lot of my friends are kind of telling me I should for my own good. You know, it'd be better for my writing and for all that. And I've a lot of people I care about have been trying to talk me into smoking less and just kind of pushing away from it. And I'm listening to them.
You know what's terrifying to me is that Nick wrote 500,000 words on the Playboy Club when he was on pot. That's stoner Nick, though. How many words he would have written if he hadn't been on weed.
I can't.
See, we don't know, though, Bean. Maybe he would have written way fewer.
Got the attention of someone from the show. The show's creator, Chad Hodge, he was following me on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
My Twitter account for a while. He unfollowed me, though. But I just woke up in the middle of the night, a few weeks ago, and I saw it was following both, my personal Twitter and, the site's Twitter. I was, so excited. I was, really, really pumped up. And then he unfollowed my personal one pretty quickly. And then a few weeks later,
we all did.
The site's
Twitter, and I was really excited. I don't know why he was following me, but obviously I got his attention.
All right, Nick, listen. Is it possible that smoking weed is not the problem, but that you're trying to breathe life into a 2-year-old sitcom that's already been canceled?
Carl, it's a sexy
whatever.
Movie. No one saw it, Nick. We don't know what it was.
Whatever it was. Look, it had hot chicks on it. That's all we know. But it has been gone for 2 years. Is it possible that you're starting to actually lose hope because maybe it's a battle that you can't win?
I have to fight it, though. I have to fight it, and I have to, no matter what, it's just the best show I've ever seen. I wouldn't be holding out for this long, this hard, if I really didn't want it and didn't believe in it.
No, but we know, Nick, you want it.
Nick, we all have TV shows we like, okay? Fringe went away. Fringe was great. It was on for way too few seasons.
Fringe went, Fringe had, its beginning, middle, and end. It's like, there's nothing, kind of left unfinished about Fringe.
Okay, but what I'm saying is we all have shows, whatever example you want to give, we all have shows that we love that go away. I loved Breaking Bad. I wish Breaking Bad were still on the air. I can't change that, though, Nick. I understand that there are powers outside of my control, and people move on and they do other things with their life, and no amount of me tweeting or blogging about Breaking Bad is going to bring it back. I've got to move on and look for something else, and maybe that's what you need to do.
I at least want those episodes, the 4 episodes that they haven't released. I at least got to get those.
What did I tell you? They're going to come out on DVD eventually. Just sit tight.
Well, I don't know when. It's like, they wouldn't have, not only are we talking about this show if it wasn't for me still, you know? I'm the only one kind of pushing the envelope about it here.
Right.
That is kind of the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem.
Listen, go back to smoking.
You're pushing a boulder uphill, Nick.
I'm feeling better.
Nope.
You know,
take a bong hit right now.
All right, Nick.
Take a rip. Come on, Nick. Rip one.
We're going to check in with you, Nick, in a couple of weeks and see if you're still holding strong, okay?
I'm going to make it 30 days. Yeah, I'm going to be mentally healthier.
All right. I doubt that, but thank you so much for talking to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it, all right?
Awesome.
Bye.
Hey, quick reminder that tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for the night number 2 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Goose to Christmas Counts. You can get all those details at krock.com. Make sure you are a street team member so you can buy the tickets. I think night number 1, which went up last Friday, sold out in 4 or 5 minutes, something like that.
I believe so.
So it does go fast. You do need to be a street team member. It is free and easy to sign up at krock.com, and then you get the password, then you can buy your tickets, and then you can join us the December 7th and 8th at the Shrine. Again, details at krock.com.
Those of you that listen only occasionally, you may not have known that Bean donated a kidney to a fellow worker here at the radio station. That was a year ago.
A year ago this morning. Scott Mason, you and I were on separate tables getting wheeled into our separate operating rooms almost exactly 1 year ago right now. I think it was around 8 o'clock, wasn't it, the surgery?
Horizontal and paranoid. Yeah.
Well, we thought it might be fun to find out how Scott is doing 1 year later. Everybody knows how I'm doing, and as I described at the time when I did the research on giving up a kidney, it's no big deal to be a donor. It's not a difficult operation to go through. You recover, and your life is virtually the same as it was before. So I'm happy to say that that has been my experience. It was a great thing to go through, and I feel fine. But Scott, you're the guy whose life has changed dramatically in the last 12 months, and we wanted to find out what it's been like for you as an organ recipient.
Lots of good things. I mean, no special dialysis treatment, a lot less medication, yet a lot of medication, a lot of anti-rejection medication I still take. I've had ups and downs. I definitely had really a good set of months right after the surgery, and then they decided, hey, something's not going really good, and figured out I was actually allergic to the anti-rejection medication.
That's brilliant.
Wow, how many things could add up?
Yeah. Well, at least they figured it out when things were going downhill, and then they tried something new where I get an IV at Cedars every month. That seems to work, which actually kind of works out better. You get one shot a month, and then you don't have to take these pills every single day.
Oh, that's nice.
So that
do you
works
find
out.
You're more interested in maps than you used to be?
I like the Edmund Fitzgerald.
You do? Yes. Okay, that was going to be my second question.
Now, Scott, what is the – you're a guy who had a kidney previous to my kidney. You had a cadaver kidney that lasted for 11 years, and then that went wrong.
Correct.
So then you had to go back on dialysis, and then you got my kidney. So how long do they estimate – The current kidney, my kidney, is going to work for you, do you think? Are you done with kidney transplants? Could this one last the rest of your life?
I hope. You know, I really hope. Depends how long my life goes for, first of all.
If he dies in a year, probably.
If I am walking out this door, I'm hoping to get a full lifetime out of it, but it's totally unpredictable. It really is. I mean, you gave me a good, healthy kidney, and amazingly so. And, yeah, I'm hoping it lasts my entire life.
Do you find yourself at IHOP on Tuesdays?
Sometimes.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Scott, I remember how poorly you were doing, and that's kind of how I was tipped off to how bad your health had gotten, is because I could look at you and see that you just weren't feeling well and you weren't moving well. It was pretty bad there. By the time surgery rolled around 1 year ago today, you were even having trouble walking upstairs, right?
I had trouble walking upstairs fairly recently, even when the medication they had given me started being a monster to my body. Mm-hmm. Now, over the last month, things have gotten a lot better because they've turned that all around. And what happens is when your kidneys don't work, a lot of other things don't work too. You don't produce red blood cells. And if you don't produce red blood cells, your organs can't get fed basically. And then it's really hard to get upstairs because your muscles aren't working right. And it's a bummer. Anybody who has this disease, any kind of kidney disease or organ disease, I really have passion for.
Do you find that you have photos of naked famous men in your bathroom?
I was thinking about it. Yeah, but
you were considering it. Yeah. All right, that's a yes.
Hey, Scott's actually seen the naked OJ photo in person. He's been to the house.
Sure.
You and I did a charity walk a few months ago, Scott. We were down in Orange County, and it was very moving. We walked with, I don't know, it seemed like 20,000 people or something like that, that were family members of people who had either donated organs or people who had received organs. I mean, it's a huge community out there of people who are affected by organ donation. Yet, until I started talking to you about it and started doing the research, I was kind of oblivious to how serious a problem it is. I mean, I learned that 18 people in the United States die every single day waiting to receive an organ. Now, they're not all kidneys, but the vast majority of them are. I mean, it's kind of crazy how many people are out there losing their lives because they can't get an organ when so many of the rest of us are walking around with healthy organs inside of us, isn't it?
Well, especially kidneys, because people have two. It's not like you can really give up your heart, but yeah, a kidney, you have two of them, and you can live with one.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Lisa spends a lot of time walking around with organs inside of her.
It's so weird to see me walking like that, too. It's really tricky.
Sort of limping, I got to be honest.
So one of the reasons that I one of the things that I have talked about frequently in the last 365 days since our surgery is trying to urge people to go to organdonor.gov. That's the website. It's a great government website, organdonor.gov, and it works so much better than trying to sign up for the Obamacare.
Who's running it? The government?
I know, right?
Okay.
And it will give you so much information about why you should donate, how you can donate, all the things you need to know about becoming a donor. I want people to think about giving a donor as a living donor, but if that's something for whatever reason you won't do or can't do, then please make sure to sign up to be a donor after your death. And that's as simple as just making sure it's on your driver's license and making sure that your family is notified of your wishes. Because it's criminal, I think, that people are buried with working organs when others will die because they don't have them. Talk about the minimum thing you should do is make sure that you're an organ donor after your death.
I am an organ donor after my death.
Thank you for that.
Is that going to help? Me. I mean,
no,
seriously.
Are they just, it won't just help you, but it will help somebody else.
Are they just going to go, no, you know what?
Nobody wants those vodka-soaked organs.
Let's go someplace else.
I'm trying to think if any of Kevin's organs would be salvageable. Or they're all just pickled pretty much at this point, right?
Yeah.
And certainly no one wants the brain. We know
that's
that.
That's correct. I don't.
So, Scott, in general, before we let you go here, you're doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I was wondering about your situation, because I remember last year on the air you were talking about how your testicles turned purple.
What happened? I forgot about that.
That was literally just in the few days after the surgery.
Just kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, you think?
Thanks. Thanks, Scott. I had forgotten about that.
We all have.
Yeah. That went away a couple of days later, but yeah, that was a little bit scary. That was a side effect that Cedar-Sinai, maybe give the brother a heads up that might be a side effect, because that was a super bad surprise to get everything all swelled up and twisted like that.
Balls.
All right.
Balls.
Think about donating the gift of life. I'm fine. Scott's fine. It worked out great for us. You can make sure that it works out great for someone else. Please go to organdonor.gov and check it out. Scott, great to see you again, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Bean. I can't say it, you know, as much as I'd like to. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
It's a P-A-R-T-Y because I said so.
We have our own Paula White here on K-Rock, don't we, Ralph?
Lisa walks around with organs all the time. I don't know how she does the walking, but it's very funny.
Jerry Seinfeld himself could not have delivered that better.
That's true.
Our Kevin Bean hip-hop correspondent, our good friend Jensen Karp, is in studio with us coming up next. We have a lot of ground to cover with him. He, by the way, was if I recall correctly, he was signed to Warner Brothers Records for some sort of crazy, like, million-dollar deal when he was still a teenager as a rapper. So he's the guy that we need as our hip-hop correspondent and the guy who can get Dave off his fat Mexican ass to record his Clippers song for this year.
Oh, Jensen, I can't do it.
I can't find a saying.
I'm a Mexican.
Is Jetson going to help us with that? Are we going to try to put the pressure on to get this thing recorded?
We're going to try to put the pressure on, yeah.
Okay. All right. So he joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. Adam Carolla later on as well. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Speaking of rap, there's a brand new rap star in town. I don't know if you heard.
I've not heard.
Biggest thing ever. Yeah, as if she's just baiting us, just saying, please hate me more. Tadoff Swindler, spawn of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Great-great-great-granddaughter, I guess, to Adolf Hitler. I know she's got his blood running through her.
Right.
She's now rapping, not just rapping, but taking on the best. Have you heard her cover of Eminem's Lose Yourself?
I have not. I guarantee Bean has and loves it.
Ready for your ears to bleed.
Yes.
Here is Tadoff Swindler covering the inimitable Eminem. And, of course, one of his most popular, famous songs ever, Lose Yourself.
Yo, his palms sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on a sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous. But on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now. The clock's run out. Time's up, over. You better lose yourself in the music. The moment you're on it, don't you never let it go.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
That happens.
Yeah.
That's a terrible sound.
Usually one has to go to a junior high school talent night to find quality like that.
Wow.
Look, she's been ruined country music. Can you not ruin rap for anyone, please?
You guys know, look, this is not me defending Taylor because I know he's jump on me every time I say something, but you guys know that Taylor Swift sings everybody else's songs. You've seen her on award shows. She knows the words to every song ever recorded. Anytime anyone's performing on stage, singing along with it.
Mm-hmm. And you think that we have noticed while watching award shows that yes. Taylor Swift knows the words and is singing along?
We're always locked into what Taylor's doing in the audience of award shows.
She knows the words to every song. And at every concert that she does cover songs of pop songs. Other people's songs that she likes.
And there are some that she shouldn't.
How does have to do with that being crap?
So it's not a surprise. She's been doing that Eminem cover song for 2 or 3 years. She's been singing that.
What does it have to do with it being crap?
Just because she's done it
before. Just because you do something a lot, even when you're horrible at it, it doesn't make it okay.
It's not as good as her Nicki Minaj Super Bass cover that she does, which I love, by the way. But I'm not surprised to hear it.
I just bit my tongue in anger, literally. I'm not kidding. It really hurts. It really hurts. Speaking of awards, I bit the tip of my tongue so hard. Oh, okay. Speaking of awards, Jennifer Lawrence is just the best of the best. Everything I hear about her, I love her more.
Same.
Except when I heard she cut her hair. I lost a little erection. But what are you going to do? She doesn't know where her Oscar is.
She doesn't know where her Oscar is.
Yeah, she won, of course, the Best Actor's Honors last year for her work in Silver Linings Playbook, which was remarkable.
I'd wear it like Flava Flav's clock.
I would have it embedded under my skin, like those bars they put in at the body augmentation salons there.
Sure.
Yeah, I would have it just implanted under my skin somewhere. Probably my penis, I'm guessing, but maybe my arm or chest. She thinks it may be with family in Kentucky. If it's not there, she says she has no idea where it is.
Love it. I love her.
Have you seen the video of her at the London premiere of the next Hunger Games?
Yeah, with a little kid.
It's a little...
I don't think she's that little, actually. I think she may be a teenager, maybe even early 20s, but she's obviously afflicted with some sort of syndrome or illness, and she is in a wheelchair, just losing her mind as Jennifer comes down the red carpet. And Jennifer Lawrence, being Jennifer Lawrence, spots her, demands that security bust up the metal gates that are holding the fans back from the red carpet, and she crosses into the crowd to kneel down and talk to this girl and comfort her and see what's wrong. And the girl, as you can imagine, is flummoxed, as is her family, then poses for a bunch of pictures that looks like her mom is taking, signs an autograph for her, just stops what she's doing on the red carpet to spend time with this girl. It was really, it's really remarkable.
At any
if you
point,
haven't seen it, check it out on YouTube.
At any point, did she start singing Eminem's Lose Yourself?
Not once. But you know, Jennifer Lawrence is a big fan of other people's acting. Often she'll mouth along with the clips they play at the Oscars.
I'm sure you and you know what's
that was my
you know what's
part.
Really special about Jennifer Lawrence, though?
That she's not Taylor Swift?
Yeah,
she's not as good as Taylor Swift. But what's really special about her is that she takes her time because it's really important for her to have this connection, this moment. It's not like she just runs over, high-fives the lady, and keeps going down the red carpet. I mean, she basically is only interested in calming this girl down and making sure that she has a good experience. I mean, she's just... What a big heart she has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two big hearts. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But her big hearts right there in her chest where the hearts
go. Right. I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to compliment her as being a good person.
She's hot, too. That's our
she
point.
She is hot.
Boy, she's hot.
Except for the haircut.
Except for that haircut.
She's fine with the haircut.
We got two Hercules films coming out next year.
All right.
Thank God. I've been sitting around saying, when are we getting more Hercules movies?
And not one, but two.
Right, I'm so tired of watching the old Steve Reeves movies. I need new Hercules movies. Well, they are giving us two next year. Lionsgate Film announced they're rolling out Hercules, The Legend Begins, with Twilight's Kellan Lutz next February. And then 5 months later, we'll get Dwayne The Rock Johnson's film Hercules due out in theaters in late July. So, competing Hercules films for all you Herc fans out there.
All right.
I'm going to do that story next hour, and I'm bringing in the theme song from the animated cartoon series Hercules.
I'll bet it's
one of the greatest songs ever released. Ever released.
We'll play that back-to-back with...
Hercules, hero of song and story. Hercules, hero of ancient glory. Fire in his eyes, iron in his thighs. With the strength of men, ordinary men. Hercules. That's awesome.
But I feel like now we've heard it, and we'll not need to revisit it next
Much
hour,
like
right?
Taylor Swift's cover of Eminem, it pales compared to the original. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nicole Alvarez, our own from KROQ-FM, celebrates her birthday today. Nicole is busy answering phones for the relief effort that CBS is involved with for those people suffering from that horrible storm in the Philippines. If you'd like to give her a call and talk to her yourself... she can be reached at 818-821-1080. That's the number to call right now to make your donation.
How sweet that she's spending her birthday, by the way, manning the phones at the hotline.
Yeah, well, she's got a bottle next to the phone. Don't get nuts. serious. But they are teaming up with the Red Cross, CBS is, to help those in need from the damage from Typhoon Haiyan. So, yeah, do yourself a favor and call and feel good about yourself. For a couple bucks. Gerard Butler's 44 years old today. Actor Steve Zahn is 46. Jimmy Kimmel,
I believe.
I think it's Fallon. I think it's misspelled. It's Jimmy Fallon. The late night TV show?
No, this is the one that hates the Chinese. What's that?
Oh, that is Kimmel. Yeah, that's Kimmel. Right.
46 years old today. Whoopi Goldberg's 58. Chris Noth celebrates his 59th birthday today. Joe Mantegna celebrates his 66th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Jensen Karp in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the owner of Gallery 1988 down on Melrose. We talk about that place from time to time because they do have unbelievably cool events going on. He's a podcaster. He's a writer, a producer, a manager, a consultant, creator, director for Jash on the internet, and, of course, Kevin and Bean's hip-hop correspondent. Please welcome Jensen to the show.
Hello. That was so many hyphens.
You're awfully white to be doing that many rap-related things.
Listen, I have grown up my whole life extremely excited. This is I treat it sort of the same way that like a baseball analyst looks at like batting averages. Like, I am a very analytical man when it comes to hip-hop. It has always been my passion. So I might look like an accountant, But deep down, I'm very much into hip hop.
You look more like an accountant than in hip hop.
Fair enough. I'm a rapper's accountant.
Okay.
And your podcast, you guys talk a lot about, and you can't believe the stuff that Jensen knows. I mean, he goes back to the deepest roots of hip hop. I mean, that was the music that you kind of grew up on as a little kid, right?
Yeah. I grew up in Calabasas, California, which is not the place you think of when you think of like Melly Mel and Run DMC. But weirdly enough, like I was just a very early adapt. I just liked it. It was something that spoke to me, even though it wasn't necessarily geared towards me. Like I grew up in a suburb in a middle class home, and I liked the passion in it. There was something that just meant something to me, and all my friends were listening to Rat and Sepultura and all these different bands, and I just didn't connect with it. And here came Run DMC and the Beastie Boys and Third Bass and all these things that just weirdly ran into my brain.
If you grew up on the East Coast,
yes.
Would you be a Beastie Boy?
Well,
is that possible?
I'm Jewy enough.
Okay.
But I think I would have gravitated more towards a band Third Bass, which had the song called Gas Face, and I think maybe they went more to my aesthetic. Possibly.
Tell me about the mornings that you were calling into the Power 106 morning show to rap.
Yeah, well, when I was in college, USC, I was working at Universal Studios on a legendary classic film called Viva Rock Vegas, The Flintstones 2. I was very busy, obviously. We were doing Orson Welles' work. And so we basically were bored all the time, and on the radio, they were like, call in and battle in this roll call.
Right.
And so I, as a
joke.
Was
this the Baker Boys era talking about?
Yes, the Baker Boys, yeah. And so I sort of as a joke called in, and they asked me my name, and I didn't want to say Jensen in case I messed up. And the first thing that came to mind was the name Hot Carl, which is a reference to when you poop on someone's chest.
Yeah, I think we understand that.
Well, fair enough. And I was filling everyone in.
Right.
And so I won the first day, this battle. And then 10 days later, I kept winning. And then 43 days later, I ended up being the all-time roll call champion. And I walked off the radio station on my own, and I got $1 million record deal at Interscope Records.
Yeah.
Just based off this radio joke.
Did you ever make a record?
Yes, I made a record. It's on iTunes. It's under Hot Carl. But it's cool now. I mean, it's a 10-year-old record. So, but then again, maybe it sounds like the new Eminem record. I have Kanye West on it and the Black Eyed Peas and Maya and Fabulous and Redman. And it was very much this like sort of fish out of water story. And I look back now and it feels like a different person. But
why did you drop it? Why did you stop doing it after that album?
You know what? I mean, maybe it's because I don't just look like the accountant. I feel like I'm more a marketing guy. I'm more like a guy in the office that, I mean, I shouldn't have been talking about how I should be sold. And that's what I was doing a lot. Like, I was more interested in the graphic design on my album cover than I was the rapping. And not only that, I'm so in love with the art form that I'm still not sold that kids who grew up in Calabasas should be doing it.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to ruin the form that you love.
Yeah, and I felt like there were times I did. But it was fun, and it was an experience, and it felt cool.
We do want to talk about the Eminem album in a couple of minutes, but we also need your help on something.
Yes,
Jensen,
please.
Because Dave the King of Mexico, who you know.
I know well.
He's Clipper fan number one. You may be Clipper fan number two,
I'll
as I understand it, too,
man.
By the way.
I'm a season ticket holder as well.
Right. So you guys love the Clippers. And are you familiar with what Dave does every year at the beginning of the season where he produces a new
song.
Clippers anthem, right?
I do know, yes. I studied it because I was just asked myself to do one for In Arena. So
For In the Arena the Clippers games.
Yeah, so this is something, if I judge it, I feel like if I can't stand to what he's done, I just will stop. I won't make my In Arena.
Or you'll just have him go do it in-house.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Can we play a couple of clips of some of Dave's previous Clipper songs just to get a feeling for whether Jensen thinks there's enough here for him to even consider wasting his time working on with Dave.
Please.
Welcome to the Clipper Live. This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings. The Clipper Live. This team is blue collar. Don't make them big dollars. Still make the fans holler. The Clipper Live. We'll still beat LA. We'll still beat Portland. We'll still beat Seattle. But the playoffs are all that matter. Yeah.
All right. I see Jensen. Jensen's laughing at that one.
It was a very odd choice to go with Seattle there, rhyming wise. I don't know if that was a specific.
Well, like Eminem, I like to bend words.
No, so please take it easy. What about this one?
Kevin brings a D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right.
That was very sweet.
Clipper's gonna be all right.
All right, let's do one more of Dave's previous Clipper socks.
Okay.
The Clips will run this town. Clippers. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything. Rep Represent the Clippers all day, every day.
I like put your jersey on, put on anything.
Anything.
That's a direct ripoff of Jay-Z, by
just
the way.
Just put something on.
No,
just,
like literally, that's Jay-Z's lyric.
Put on anything?
Put on
like
all
a chicken,
black.
Chicken suit? Yeah. Just put on anything.
Because his lyric was all black everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think of Dave's flow, Jensen?
I mean, listen, I'm a big fan of him as a person.
No, that's not what we asked. We asked you about the flow.
Okay, the flow is awful.
All right, good.
Well, that's nothing new.
Is it something you can work with?
No. I mean, listen, in truth, I don't think I really was the monster of flow either. But I do think that there's something to be said about riding the beat, finding yourself as an instrument within the rap beat. And right now, you're just sort of yelling.
now Dave's having a lot of trouble this year because most seasons, about the time the new season begins, a song kind of presents itself that makes sense for Dave.
Sure.
He can't find anything this year.
Really?
He's like completely
blank. Totally.
We tried to talk him into Starting From the Bottom.
And
now we're here.
Which we thought,
right!
How perfect is that for the Clippers? But he won't have anything to do with that because he hates Drake.
Drake sucks.
No,
so,
I don't like
God.
Drake.
Oh, my God.
I don't like Drake.
You don't like Drake either.
No, I'm just saying. That's
like
my impression of him.
But
we're saying you don't even have to like him. That song is almost writes itself.
What's a better way to get back at Drake than to beat him on his own song?
Right.
That's the way you take him out forever.
Song writes itself.
Yeah.
No, because there's one line and it doesn't even fit with the Clippers. So
neither did any of those other songs.
Wait, so you're saying because they didn't start at the bottom, now they're here?
Well, no. It's because I like to use the word
Clippers.
Yeah, okay. They were the worst franchise in sports.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I like to use the word Clipper in the song and it doesn't work.
I got an idea. Clippers started from the bottom, now they're here.
See,
this is why
you're
a pro.
See, that's why.
That's what you do.
There you go.
That easy.
All right, let's let these guys talk about this, hash this out off the air, and find out if Jensen can save Dave. Because, frankly, Clippers fans are getting a little annoyed that we're a week into the season now. No
That's
new song.
True. That's true.
No new song,
you
right?
You got to do it.
All right, Jensen Karp is here. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter, and he is one of the funniest people on Twitter, at JensenClan88, and you should definitely be stopping by his...
It's with a C, because I'm not racist.
That's correct.
Yes. Right, exactly.
Clan88,
you should definitely be stopping by the Gallery 1988 as well. That's online at gallery1988.com. More with our guest in a moment, right after this on camera.
Yay.
Jensen Karp in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is our hip-hop correspondent. You made a throwaway reference to Eminem a moment ago, Jensen, who has the number one album in America this week.
Yes.
With crazy sales of 790,000 copies sold
ton
in
of
one
records.
Week.
Ton of records.
Which nobody sells anymore. I think he's number two for the year in terms of first week sale. After who? Taylor Swift.
That's your girl.
And I don't know what the deal is, but he sounds like an old man bitching about nothing at this point.
Because he's an old man. I've always had small issues with Eminem, and everyone can call career envy, whatever you want. I've always had small issues with the idea that he is so rich and yet so angry. But now when you're 41 years old and you're still angry slash making these references, I made a joke the other day. It was like his 41st birthday. I was like, happy 41st birthday to Eminem. Also, happy 20th birthday to his references. they are very – can I go over some of them?
Sure.
Okay. So on the new album, he references these things. And remember, I love Eminem if you're looking for a rapper who just got out of a coma. Okay, here we go. Tori Spelling, the Unabomber, Monica Lewinsky, Ren and Stimpy, Jerry Mathers from Leave It to Beaver, O.J. Simpson, Lorena Bobbitt, and Die Hard.
Wow, you're not kidding.
These are Jay Leno monologue jokes.
On his new album.
This is the one that came out a week ago.
I
want to give you some reference as to 41 years old, just so you know. This is a man who entered, he started Instagram a couple weeks ago, and the first picture was him giving the finger. I mean, it's still the same act.
Sure.
These are other 41-year-olds. Ben Affleck is 41 years old. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 is 41 years old. Mm-hmm. Jenny Garth is 41 years old. I mean, his peer group is not this over-the-top, don't give an F kind of thing. He hasn't matured in the same way that a lot of other rappers, Jay-Z and such, have, and I wish he did.
Now, there are people who think he's the best rapper ever, or certainly the best rapper working today, but aren't most of those people pop music fans where they don't listen to a lot of rap?
Well,
right?
he's a very talented structural rapper. Technically, he's obviously great. This Rap God song, if you broke it down and sort of looked at each thing, he can obviously rap.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
All.
He's
I mean,
great.
It is, yeah.
And the only thing that I say is that, are you saying anything at all? You know, and when you talk about the greatest of all time.
I would say, let me just butt in there.
Yeah,
I
please.
Would say,
I know you're a fan.
You know the song Headlights?
I do.
Stunning. That, to me, is amazing. It's an apology.
To his mother.
To his mother.
And I don't.
By the way, that's
That's growth. That's got Nate from
that's,
Fun.
That's the best song on the record, that, by the way.
It's got Nate from Fun on it, singing, and it's...
I like the song with Kendrick Lamar, because I like Kendrick
Lamar
a lot.
That's great, too.
But I do think he made a sequel to Stan, Kevin.
Like, no, he did.
That's bad news.
That's true that he did that.
That's bad. That's like...
I listened to that, and I was like, no, no.
That's like Apocalypse Now 2. You know what I mean? Like, like you don't... I don't want to see what happened after the war. Let us live in the war. I liked Marlon Brando a lot in that film.
He was driving from the police and jumping off a bridge with his car.
Exactly.
Did happen.
And I don't mean... And I don't even mean to make another Orson Welles reference, because I've already made one, but this album reminds me a lot of when Orson Welles was a voice in the Transformers movie.
But can you really be offended by his references if yours are worse?
Listen, that's a good point. You make a good point. But I'm also not 41. I'll take that. But I do think he just... And hip-hop is a weird thing, because Meet the Beatles is not the best Beatles album. No one believes that. But in hip-hop, Illmatic by Nas, you know, the Marshall Mathers LP, these things, the Slim Shady LP... even Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt, we always hold them to that being their best because they were their hungriest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They don't age well. It's very hard to be...
Because that hunger doesn't continue.
And hip-hop is based in the streets, exactly. Yeah. And they're not in the streets anymore. And it changes. I understand that. And I just think that I would like to have seen that kind of growth from M.
I think you make some interesting points. I was thinking about this as I was listening to the Eminem album over the weekend, which is I don't think this is a record that I'm going to be excited to hear again in a month or in 6 months. It's not one. I'll still pull out the first two or three Eminem albums, and they're still awesome. I don't think this is one that's going to hold up. And he just – it sounds so dated to me. And let's address just for a moment the controversy that I think is warranted about how he's one of the only rappers out there who still thinks it's cool to diss on gay people.
Yeah, and that's – and by the way – that's another argument. I mean, we have grown so much as a society.
We have. And rappers have grown, too. I mean, when Macklemore is out there and Same Love is one of the biggest hits of the year, the hip-hop community has changed on this topic, and it has become more inclusive. And I don't know, it just sounds bad to me to hear him drop all the gay slurs on this album. I don't think it's necessary, and I don't think it's...
I agree.
Do you think it's legitimate?
Well, the argument of I use it because it means something else is just a stupid argument at this point.
Well,
I mean,
if you look at his lyrics, there's no way he means that.
No.
He means...
I agree.
Homosexual. I mean, he really does.
Yeah, at this point, we've told you a lot, Eminem. We've explained to you a lot how it doesn't mean moron. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that we're in a society where this thing with the Miami Dolphins is happening, and so many things is going on about names and the wordage we use.
We used to use the word gay as bad.
Yeah.
We used to do that, and then we realized...
That's gay was a thing.
Yes. Right. And, over a course of time, people would correct us and go, you know what, that seems like, why is that?
And we learned.
Yeah, exactly, and I hate to bring it back, but we all grew up. Yes. We all let our age grow up. And Ben Affleck is 41. He's directing now. That kind of growth. Like, I don't see that kind of thing in him as a human. And using the gay and using these derogatory terms, I think, just plays into the idea that we're still sort of celebrating a rapper who's saying, like, pee-pee caca in his raps. And we're like, yay! Like, I think, like, there's just something to be said about... And listen, and I know people...
Pee-pee caca is his best song.
That's his big words. I mean, obviously, that's the Hall of Fame words. But I will say, a lot of people like this album because it's very self-reflexive. It's very, like, he's self-effacing. You know, there are a lot of rappers out there. There's Ari the Rugged Man. There's Masta Ace. There's a lot of rappers that no one knows about, and they're very self-reflexive. If you want to hear someone talk about themselves, there's a lot of other options. That's all.
Well, if you are interested in hearing what Jensen is talking about, because he definitely knows his topic, you should be checking out his podcast. It's available on iTunes. It's called Get Up On This, and it's really, really terrific.
Thank you.
Well, I want to mention before you go, because when I brought you on, I mentioned that you're the owner of Gallery 1988 here in L.A., and you have a new book out, The Crazy for Cult Movie Art 2. Now, this is a collection of some of the best things that you've had in the gallery in the cult for the cult series over the past year, right?
Absolutely. And as you guys talked about, we're a pop culture art gallery, so I don't find myself liking art in a sense of, like, you know, a canvas with two yellow lines selling for $50,000. So we focus on movies and TV and video games. It's all inspired by this pop culture, and our big show is called Crazy for Cult. It's pieces based on cult films, and we've been doing it 7 years now. And this is the second book with Titan Publishing, and you can get it anywhere. And it's all pieces. I mean, you'll love it if you like movies.
It's really cool. I hate art.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Well, because it's art about Ghostbusters and Shaun of the Dead and The Big Lebowski and stuff like that.
It speaks to everyone. And we're doing it again in New York. I know it doesn't help in LA radio, but we're doing it in New York December 13th on Bowery and 3rd. It's the brand new 7th annual. And you can see all the artwork at gallery1988.com. We ship everywhere. And it's, again, I don't like art. It's video game inspired. It's just stuff and movies and TV and humorous and stuff you'll like. I promise.
Super fun. Super fun having you in, Jensen. Oh, thanks so much
please.
For the time
Thank
today,
you, man. And next time someone kills someone in hip-hop or does something stupid, I'm your guy. I'm your guy.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. All right.
All day long, K-Rock and CBS Television are teaming up to raise money for the Red Cross to help those still in need from the damage for the typhoon in the Philippines, Typhoon Haiyan, which was the largest weather event ever recorded, by the way. Just insane. It just flattened that island. Hundreds and thousands of people are homeless right now.
It's crazy, almost cartoonish when you look at those photos and you just see the unbelievable devastation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like someone came in with a giant lawnmower and just mowed everything that was standing down. If you want to donate, and you should, you can call this number, 818-821-1080. No matter how small, even if it's a dollar or two, it definitely all adds up. 818-821-1080. Right now, our own Nicole Alvarez from K-Rock is manning the phones along with hundreds of other people across the country. But definitely make that call if you didn't get the number. Please just give us a call here at K-Rock and we'll help you out.
All right, let's talk about the Toy Hall of Fame, something I did not know existed.
I
have it on my list of places I want to visit one day.
Sure.
It's in Rochester, New York, the National Toy Hall of Fame. And I was shocked by this news story that came out recently that they are just now, this year, inducting the rubber ducky into the Toy Hall of Fame.
How does that... What's
horrible oversight, Bean.
What's the process by which they put toys in the Hall of Fame? It's not like an NFL thing or a band. You know, you have to be a band for 25 years to get in the Hall of Fame. What are their requirements?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Kevin, because we actually have somebody on the phone who can answer those questions for you. He is the director, I think, of the National Toy Hall of Fame, and he is Winslow Schott, and he joins us from Rochester right now. Hi, Mr. Schott. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you? What's so funny? I don't understand. I haven't even said anything yet, for goodness sake.
The National Toy Hall of Fame is honoring the rubber ducky and honoring chess.
Yes.
My friend Kevin was asking, what is the criteria by which you admit people or toys into the Hall of Fame?
The National Toy Hall of Fame recognizes toys that have inspired creative play and have been enjoying popularity over a sustained period.
Okay.
There's no set time, but it has to have been around a while.
Now, some of the finalists this year included Pac-Man, Nerf Toys, and My Little Pony. Now,
yes, maybe next year for
maybe
them.
Next year. Okay. All right.
This but year, just the rubber ducky and chess. Finally getting around to chess.
Right.
So Pac-Man may have to wait a while because chess just got in. About for thousands of years.
Chess has been doing good work for thousands of years. Yes. Just now nominated.
But Winslow, nothing makes a little kid happier, especially on Christmas morning, than unwrapping that present under the Christmas tree and having it be a chess set.
Yes, well listen, kids do play chess. The ones that don't get laid play chess. And so it's something for everybody in the National Toy Hall of Fame.
Now, let me take a look here. Also in the National Hall of Fame, Monopoly. That was inducted back in 1998. Yes. Roller skates in 1999.
Yes.
The Jack in the Box. Last year, you put Star Wars action figures and dominoes into the hall.
Yes, dominoes, another popular game for kids. And Star Wars has just been around now for so long and just... It keeps going on and on. It's never lost popularity, don't you know?
Right.
So what about, is it frustrating for people? Is it like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where people are angry if their toy doesn't make its way into the induction ceremony?
Oh, yes. They're fans of lots of older toys, especially, that keep sending us emails saying, why isn't my favorite toy in the Hall of Fame? And we understand their frustration.
Right. Like what? Do you have any suggestions?
We've got tons of emails from people who grew up in all different eras have their favorite toys, don't you know?
Okay.
A lot of people who grew up in the 50s are demanding, in the 50s, building toys are very popular, Lincoln Logs and Erector sets. And a lot of those people think that Little Oppenheimer's My First A-Bomb should be in the mix. It came from Gilbert Toys, and it was a little metal shell with fins on the back and some uranium, and you'd put it in there and make your own A-bomb.
Wait, it actually had uranium?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh,
that
seems bad.
Not a lot of those fans around today who played with that toy. A lot of cancer for some reason.
Oh, that's just sad.
I feel bad for those people.
Sure.
In the 60s, Whammo was popular. They had the hula hoop, of course, and the frisbee. They had a short-lived toy called the Pogo Cycle. It was half pogo stick, half unicycle. And it didn't have a seat. It just had a handle that you sat on.
Oh, no.
And it, they had to pull it off the shelves because they just couldn't get little girls off of it.
Oh,
wow. They for hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
And eventually, they had it. They had to take it away from the girls, and they cried, and they ate Haagen-Dazs, and it was very sad.
Not appropriate for little girls at all.
In the 70s, a lot of people wanted to see Milton Bradley's board game, the Studio 54 game,
right,
inducted, where you could either be Mick or Bianca Jagger, and you did a bunch of blow and boned somebody in the bathroom.
Wait, that was part of the game?
That was part of the game, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, bone card. And you go into the restroom, and then when you came out, you picked another card, the STD card. And then, too bad, you've got herpes.
That seems bad. It's a shame that game isn't recognized.
Not a fun board game.
Doesn't sound like it, no.
In the 80s, Spirograph was popular. Remember Spirograph? You'd take a pen or the gears, and you draw creative art that way.
Right.
They also put out another version called Mammograph, which encouraged little girls just to ink up their boobs and press it on a piece of paper.
That's easy.
That sounds really fun.
Inappropriate.
Lots of boys, but not that many to girls.
Very inappropriate.
Interesting.
In the 90s, Play-Doh released the Fuzzy Pumper Firehouse. You may remember that, where you put the Play-Doh and you press down the pump and the fireman's hair would grow out. It was Play-Doh.
Right.
The first version was Ron Jeremy's Fuzzy Pumper
Play-Doh. Oh, no.
Definitely people want that in the Hall of
Fame. I can see that.
I think that's best forgotten.
That's a good choice. Remember the Pet Rocks?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
For a while afterwards, they did a spinoff called Pet Kidney Stones. They were actual kidney stones you'd swallow and just wait for them to come out.
Oh, that's painful even.
Kids didn't enjoy that.
Wow, that's a terrible toy.
A lot of screaming. But we're hoping next year, Little Kevin's Play School Party Bus will be on the list.
Oh, the party bus is up for consideration.
Party bus. My Little Kevin, it's called. You get on there and it comes with little airplane-sized bottles of booze.
Actual booze for the
kids? Actual booze for the kids. And then it's a simulator to see whether you crash into a cow or not when you're done.
I am going to vote for that. Absolutely.
Can't stop the spirits when they need you.
Woo!
This life is more than just a read-through.
Woo!
I don't know. I think that might help.
I think it helps.
I think maybe that should be a permanent
fill those
addition.
Gaps. Fill in gaps.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 2 minutes till 9.
Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour. And then we're going to play a recording of a DJ even drunker than Kevin trying to do a radio interview. It's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, that exists. Okay.
It's on the way in the next half hour here.
That's
at the Kevin
person.
Bean Show.
I know
it's
a real person.
I know it's hard to imagine, but it is actually true.
First, though, wrap us here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Before I beat you with Showbiz, let me give you something. Let me give you a little kiss and a slap here.
All right.
How about some tickets to a very cool event? I'm calling out to my geeks, my people, by the way. The Amazing Spider-Man 2, of course. Everyone's looking forward to this. We got the return of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. Emma Stone returns as Gwen Stacy. It's a very special fan event happening at Sony Studios. It's pretty cool. You will get not only to see 12 minutes of exclusive footage from the movie before anyone else. That means you'll be able to go back to your friends and go, wait till you see this thing that
happens. You'll never believe it.
You'll never believe it. But you get a meet and greet with the cast.
Yay! I guess that's all right.
Kids are far away, but very excited.
Up close now.
I thought they were just getting off the party bus. You will get a chance to meet and interact with Andrew Garfield, Spidey himself, Emma Stone, the lovely and talented. How about Jamie Foxx, Electro, the super bad from this film? He'll be there as well. No, he's the super bad guy, super villain.
Nah.
It's all very exciting, and I wish I could attend, but sadly I cannot. However, you can if you call right now. 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers through at that number will get a pair of passes to this amazing Spider-Man 2 fan event.
With his might, with the strength of ten ordinary men, Hercules, people are safe when near him, Hercules. Only the evil fear him, softness in his eyes,
iron in his thighs,
virtue in his heart,
fire in every part of the mighty Hercules.
Come on. Now that's a song.
That's a little flimsy.
That's a song.
That's a bit flimsy.
That inspires you. Makes you want to go out there and
dance.
And take on 12 labors.
I think Lord should cover that so she could macho it up.
That's what I'm saying.
How dare you? Flimsy. How dare you? You think that's flimsy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, please, yeah. Be a song and study.
Lisa, what famous Broadway musical is that from?
God, that's a good question.
You don't know, man.
I don't
the music
know.
Man, maybe.
You don't know, man.
I don't know.
Lord should do that.
Hercules.
Couldn't be worse. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our own Nicole Alvarez celebrates her birthday today. Nicole's currently on the phones with that charity group. It's taking money to help those people in the Philippines from that horrible storm that was going on.
Let me give out the number one more time.
Sure.
It's 818-821-1080. Accepting donations all the way up until 6:30 tonight if you want to help out the folks in the Philippines.
Gerard Butler's 44 years old. Actor Steve Zahn, one of my favorites, 46 years old. As is our boy Jimmy Kimmel. Boy, who would have thought somebody from the Kevin and Bean Show would ever make it so good?
Yeah, no kidding.
46 years old. Happy
hey,
birthday,
I say this
Jim.
All the time. No one deserves it more than Jimmy. One of the hardest working guys I've ever met. One of the nicest guys I've ever met. And one of the most talented guys. So more power to him.
I agree. Whoopi Goldberg's 58. Chris Noth is 59 years old today. Actor Joe Mantegna celebrates his 66th birthday. When's your birthday, Bean? Tomorrow? Tomorrow your big day?
Oh, I guess it is. I had not thought about that. Yes. Yes, it's coming up soon.
Oh. Who doesn't know their birthday is the next day?
It's not a thing that, you know, we've talked about this before. It's not a thing that's on my radar. I don't
that's
think about
madness.
It. Madness. Celebrate.
A guy who obsesses
anything.
About dates as much as you do, it must just trigger some sort of recollection when you know 11/14 is coming.
Had not occurred to me at all this week until just now when you said that.
Liar. Well, that is madness. We're going to have a big birthday celebration show tomorrow.
Please don't.
Wait till you hear what I have in store for you tomorrow for your birthday.
I've already talked to Future Bean today, and it's not pretty, so no thank you.
Involves a llama and a feral cat and some video and some Viagra, so you'll enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This Friday is going to be a big day for Adam Carolla fans. You can meet the Ace Man at 5 p.m. at the Ventura BevMo. Adam is going to be there with a new white peach and pear mangria and the signature orange sangria. That's at BevMo in Ventura at 5, and then at 8 o'clock he'll be on stage at the Borderline in Thousand Oats with a special guest, Dana Gold, doing his live podcast. Doors open at 6:30. Show is at 8. You can get tickets at BorderlineEnt.com for just $25. Adam Carolla, man. Hardest working man in show business. And he joins us every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with 3, working my way up to number 1. I've had a little revelation as it pertains to beer commercials and just how much they've changed. A few weeks ago, I was telling you guys about TV commercials, daytime commercials, when you'd stay home from school.
Right.
And you'd see all those commercials that said, you know, learn to work in a doctor's world or learn diesel repair or enter the fast-paced, lucrative world of typewriter repair.
Right.
And all that stuff. Be a long-haul trucker in 10 days. Get your license. And now it's all had a slip at the workplace. Do you need a structured settlement? It's all basically... Every commercial was get off the sofa back in the day. Now it's stay where you are.
Yep.
Have your doodleberries, and we're going to get you some money. Just go to the mailbox in your Easy Glider and pick up a check. Very interesting. So I thought, that's a very interesting message that is being sent to people. And then I realized beer commercials. The good old beer commercial. Every beer commercial I saw growing up was just a bunch of guys walking into a bar with their hard hats on. It's like, you put in a full day's work. Now it's time to reach for the coldest refreshment. Now every beer commercial is just a bunch of 23-year-olds on a rooftop partying, not doing anything, never did anything that day.
Right.
DJ Jazzy Jew is spinning the records. They're up there.
A lot of hot chicks everywhere.
Hot chicks everywhere. You had a long day of watching a biracial couple make out on a rooftop. Now you head for the coldest refreshment you can find. Everyone's doing nothing. Nobody got off work. No one's wearing a hard hat. No one's got the sleeves rolled up. They're just on some imaginary roof having a biracial party that'll never end.
So they're getting all the rewards of drinking beer just like the hardworking men and women of old, but they didn't have to do any of the hard work.
We used to earn it. Those guys would come in, and they take a suck off it, still wearing the hard hat, and go, ah.
I don't know who's smarter. I mean, I think the guy that's just sitting on the roof is having a better time than you had.
I agree, but right. Meantime, every bridge is falling down.
Well, there's that.
These guys are on a roof instead of putting girders together.
That's true.
All right, number two. Oh boy, it's never ending. This is. I'm going insane. This is second only to raising the goalposts in the NFL.
Okay.
I did a function for the North Hollywood Police Department last week. Our new mayor, Eric Garcetti, was there, and I stood next to him up on stage. And when it came time for me to address the community in the room, I said, "Mr. Garcetti, Mr. Mayor." This whole thing with the, if it steers, it clears when the cars break down on the freeway and you don't pull them off to the side and everyone treats it like a crime scene and they get out of the car and we have the worst traffic in the world. Every other state has this policy. Every other city has a sign that says if it steers, it clears. Why don't we have this policy? And he said, that's a good idea.
What?
They do it in Bozeman, Montana. They have these signs. And when I was done going insane, the head of the Highway Patrol came up to me, and he made it even worse. He said to me, you know, that is a law.
What's a law?
The books. And I said, it's a law that nobody knows about because you a-holes are too busy throwing a click-it or kick-it on every one of those freeway signs, which we already know about.
Right.
And report drunk driving and buzz driving is drunk driving, which you know I disagree with because if buzz driving is drunk driving, then sober driving is buzz driving. Do the math.
I'm not sure we're with you on that, but go ahead.
No, just do the simple buzz driving math. Okay. If you're buzzed and you're drunk, then if you're sober, you're buzzed. Everyone gets kicked up a notch.
Okay.
Simple math. Let's be responsible, people. Jesus Christ, can we get this campaign out to all the brain-dead folks that are currently stalled out on the freeway and standing next to their car in traffic?
Get it off to the side.
Oh, if it steers, it clears, people. Move it off to the side. And number one, Blockbuster, out of business after 30 years. Look, I'm not a religious man, and, you know, I don't pray to the great magnet in the sky, and I'm not superstitious, but when you don't have a porn section in your video store, you get what you get.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I don't know what that means.
It's just bad karma.
Okay.
He's saying Blockbuster would still be standing today if they offered.
Still be here today.
That's right.
That's right. It was taken down because it did not have a porn section.
Interesting.
And this broadcaster's mind. It did not have a porn section. It's bad karma or bad arma or bad handma. Whatever it is,
right.
It's bad juju, and that's it. You're out of business.
That's
now.
What destroyed them.
And then I started thinking to myself, I miss the Ma and Pa porn section. Remember the Ma and Pa video store with the porn section that was shoehorned into the corner? Like it was 900 square foot, and they realized, oh, man, we need some porn. And they just shoved it in the corner, and they couldn't figure out what to do with it. So they put, like, Western doors in front of it or shower curtain or beads or Back to the Future cutout, you know, cardboard cutout in front of it or something.
It's basically a closet.
Would you pay? Here's two coffee table books I want to produce before I die. First is called Dade County Black Prom, 1977 to 1985.
Okay.
Sounds racist. I think it'd be visually spectacular.
Okay.
Number two would be
my specialty item.
Porn section from the 80s. Would you look at that coffee table book or not?
I would probably look at that for hours.
I would look at that for hours as well.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. Adam Carolla has too many ideas to actually implement them all in just a 24-hour day, but you can see him again two big times on Friday at the Ventura BevMo starting at 5 o'clock. Get yourself some mangria, and then on stage with the great comedian Dana Gold. That's going to be at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. Get all the details on that at adamcarolla.com. Have a great week, Ace Man. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 10.
Uncle Ralph is here with another Showbiz Beat and, I understand, a giveaway before we say goodbye for today.
Do want to give the kids a little something-something. This is pretty cool, too. How about a copy of Call of Duty Ghosts?
Yay!
The kids like it.
Wow! The kids have never been happier than they were right there.
Yay!
Stop it, children.
They love Call of Duty.
Well, too much. Because now Uncle Ralph's deaf.
Yay!
There you go.
That might have been full volume for all I know.
You can't use the S word on the radio, Ralph.
I just said I don't have a button to push.
We're in a different studio.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well.
That's good. That's all good.
Well, then we'll see what
happens.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Maybe I won't be back tomorrow, but
all good. It's all good.
It's been a good run. The Call of Duty's Prestige Edition's in stores now, but why spend your hard-earned ducats, boys and girls, when you can win one from your radio Uncle Ralph? One winner right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll get your choice of PS3 or Xbox 360 version of Call of Duty Ghost Prestige Edition. And this thing is awesome. You get 100? Nope. You get the 1080 HD tactical camera. In this version, you get a paracord strap, a collectible steelbook, Call of Duty Ghost Seasons Pass, a bonus map, all kinds of good things if you get this edition. So call us now, won't you? 1-800-520-1067. Mel Gibson, the man who famously said, Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
He did say that.
I wonder how they started the Civil War. Did the Jews want slaves and the Gentiles didn't? I forget how that broke down amongst religious lines.
Not sure he thought that one all the way through.
Well, all the wars, he said, in the world.
Yeah, I know.
He's now dating an Israeli-born Jewish actress named Sarai Givati. And she is lovely and beautiful, and apparently Mel has seen the folly of his ways and now just loves Israel and loves Jews.
I will believe that, because it seems to be the truth.
It does seem to be the truth. Mel, Rose McGowan and I finally have something to agree on.
What?
How about that? In Touch magazine asked her what she thought about the reboot of her series Charmed. And Rose replied, they are really running out of ideas in Hollywood. So I think we both think it's a bad idea. Speaking as stars of Charmed ourselves, as Rose and I were.
Sure. What if they bring you back as a DJ on the new version of Charmed?
What if they bring back the DJ from the P3 nightclub and give me a...
Maybe it could be a spinoff. You'd be the lead
DJ P3. CSI, New York.
Who is the band that you brought on in your very special episode of Charmed?
I had... several episodes, Bean. I resent you forgetting that fact.
Sorry.
I, of course, famously first brought on Dishwalla to the stage.
That's right.
The P3. Ladies and gentlemen, Dishwalla.
Right.
And then that went so well, they brought me back. They wrote another special episode just for me where I got to introduce the Cranberries on stage.
There you go.
All right.
So it's possible that...
No wonder it's coming back.
There could be public demand for the return of the P3 DJ.
Sure.
But in the 2014 version, you'll be bringing on, you know, Lorde and bands like that. You'll
That's
be
right.
Whatever's hip today, right?
Exactly. Say, what's up, kid? Wiki, wiki. I'll update my dialogues. I'll be very hip.
I hope that happens.
I do, too. And this Alec Baldwin story is fascinating to me. It's like watching a soap opera play out right in front of our eyes.
Now, she's crazy, right?
Or is she? Here's the thing. Alec spent some time on the witness stand yesterday testifying in a trial about a woman he says is stalking him and has been for many years.
Okay.
According to the New York Daily News, Alec denied ever having an affair with this French-Canadian actress named Genevieve Sabourin. He says he was introduced to her in 2002 at a luncheon he attended in Montreal, but other sources say they met on a set of a film, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Something good came out of that film.
That's a good film.
Now, the guy who introduced him is the producer of Scarface, a guy named Martin Bregman. Marty Bregman, legendary, longtime producer.
Okay.
He tells the Daily News that Alec lied on the stand and made up the stalking report to cover up a longtime affair he's been having with this actress.
Is that right?
Alec claims that Marty Bregman was the one having the affair with the actress, not him.
Oh, this is getting good.
While on the stand, Alec was asked, have you ever been romantically involved with the defendant? He said, no, I have not. She screamed out in court, you're lying. Finally, the judge threatened to hold her in contempt if the outburst continued. We'll find out more today when she takes the stand. 23 counts of harassment, 1 count of stalking. She claims not only has she been Alec's longtime lover, but he even cheated on his wife, Hilaria, with her, his current wife.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
She told reporters yesterday, I'm not guilty, I'm not a stalker, I haven't done anything wrong.
It's on.
It is so on.
So her version of this is that he's just trying to whitewash what was an actual relationship
and
pretend that she's crazy instead of just owning up to the fact that they had an affair.
Look, she may be crazy, but it may be fatal attraction kind of crazy because of an affair that they had versus her just being a crazy fan crazy.
Right.
And I also heard, Ralph, tell me if you saw this, that we haven't gotten into identifying, you know, Mickey Mouse blotches on the penis or anything, but she could talk about his stomach and how she had a he had a scar in his stomach,
yep.
And she's seen it and
yep.
everything.
Yep. All
knows?
Kinds of identifiable marks that right. would only be revealed to someone who is in an intimate situation with Alec,
hmm.
she claims.
This is a good one. I like this.
Although I do believe he has Mickey Mouse spots on his penis.
Is that right? Yeah, he has that too?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nicole Alvarez, our very own from here on K-Rock. She celebrates her birthday today. Steve Zahn and Gerard Butler, both talented actors, celebrate their birthdays today. Jimmy Kimmel celebrates a birthday, as does Whoopi Goldberg, Chris Noth, and Joe Mantegna. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, Steve Fainaru, I believe is how you say his name, wrote a book called League of Denial about the NFL and concussions. And it's causing a lot of trouble.
I thought it was about Egyptian superheroes.
We have Steve Lillywhite.
League of Denial.
We have Steve Lillywhite in the studio for a return visit. He's pretty much produced every song that we play on K-Rock. We have Sean Tube, who plays Majib Javadi, I think is his name, on Homeland.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds practically right.
It sounds right,
yes,
right? That's
it does.
Close enough. And we have Dr.
I think he may have gotten the Iranian part right. I think he screwed up the actual actor's name, Sean Tobe, though.
Oh. Tobe.
Come on. Why can't
That's
you just let me have
all
it?
Along. Kevin can speak Iranian, but he can't speak English.
Interesting. Maybe we ought to be looking into his background a little bit.
Dave just said in my ear that it's Tube.
Really?
Really?
How about that?
Kevin was right.
That's all tomorrow morning.